Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing as we offer our prayers this morning. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name this morning. From the depths of our hearts, we remember all your benefits. You forgive our sins. You heal our diseases. You redeem our lives from the pit. You crown us with love and compassion, and you satisfy our souls with good things. Lord, help us never to forget your goodness. When the world feels heavy, remind us of your mercy. When we grow weary, renew our strength like the eagles. And when we are tempted to complain, fill our mouths with praise instead. We thank you today for your faithfulness to this church family. You've been our healer, our provider, our redeemer, our friend. For every answered prayer, every moment of grace, every unseen protection, we give you thanks. Father, this morning we lift up before you the family of our dear sister, Diane Gwynn, who passed away on Friday. We thank you for her life, for her faith, her love, the joy she brought to others. Now in their time of loss, surround her family with your presence. Be their comfort in sorrow, their peace in the midst of grief, and their strength in the days ahead. May they feel the warmth of your arms around them and the hope of your resurrection deep within their hearts. Lord, as we continue to worship, teach us to bless you, not only with our words, but in our lives. May our gratitude overflow into generosity and praise you in every turn, and that our faith would grow deeper through every trial. We bless you, O Lord, for you are good and your love endures forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. Today's message is blessed to be a blessing. Our text is Psalm 103, starting at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So we are now in the season of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day is coming up. But Thanksgiving is meant to be more than just a moment in time or a day. Thanksgiving is meant to be a mindset for the Christian. And King David shows us the secret to a thankful heart when he writes Psalm 103. He doesn't just count his blessings, he blesses the Lord. He doesn't say, look what I have, but look at who gave it to me. And that's where real thanksgiving begins. Now, to bless means to speak or give something that brings goodness, favor, or well-being into someone's life. To bless someone means you give them something good, a gift, kindness, provision, or help, and they respond, wow, I've been blessed. But when we bless the Lord, it means we praise, honor, and thank him, not adding to him. What can we give to God? He created all things, right? It means we are acknowledging who he is. So first of all, we need to remember what God has done, which is what David does when he starts out commanding his soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He remembers what God has done, and he's talking to himself. Now they say, if you're crazy, you talk to yourself. But the reality is, throughout life, you need to talk to yourself. Snap out of it. Get over it. Get out of bed for the love of peace. Go to church. Don't just sit and watch TV. You got to talk to yourself. You got to encourage yourself. Because gratitude doesn't come naturally. So David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. You see, we drift toward forgetting, not thanking. And this is a big problem in life. It's part of the human condition to remember. It's why we have special holidays in America, to remember specific events. Why? Otherwise, we just forget them. Even major, major events like 9/11, if there aren't people constantly reminding, people forget it even happened. Just forget, you know, the reason we celebrate, you know, 4th of July and all these different things. If you don't celebrate them, you will forget that they ever happened. It's the human condition. We drift towards forgetting, certainly not thanking, and we have to be careful. This is a big problem in people's marriages. We start out in a fiery blaze of love, but over time, if we're not careful, we forget. We get so caught up in making a living, caring for children, maintaining our houses, our yards, our fences, paying our bills, that we forget what drew us together in the first place. The couples that succeed never allow themselves to forget what brought them together. For example, I have to remember my wife was really nice. That's right. That she's gorgeous. That's just a side thing. Yeah, believe that. By the way, she's hilarious. She's in the time of life where she just spontaneously bursts into flames. And she's all of a sudden, she goes, I'm hot, I'm hot, I'm hot, I'm hot. I say, quit bragging. In Hebrew, the word forget means more than memory loss. It means neglecting what you once knew. That's the challenge. Don't neglect. David is saying, don't take God for granted. Don't let his goodness fade from view. And David lists God's blessings one by one. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, love, mercy, satisfaction, and renewal. He reminds himself, everything I have came from him. So as you approach this Thanksgiving season, take inventory. What prayers has God answered for you this year? What dangers did he protect you from? What burdens did he lift in your life? When you remember what God has done, gratitude becomes natural, not forced. Secondly, we need to recognize the source of every blessing. James writes, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good, every bite of food, every breath of air, every laugh shared around the table comes from God's hand. The problem is that we start believing that these blessings came from us. Our skill, our hard work, our intelligence, our planning. But when you see success, peace, or provision in your life, you have to remember, you didn't get there alone. God lifted you. God sustained you. God blessed you. This Thanksgiving, instead of thinking, wow, look how far I've come, we need to think, look how faithful God has been to me. Because gratitude shifts the spotlight from self to Savior. Number three, we need to respond by being a blessing. When you realize that everything you have is a gift, the next natural step is to give. I love this in Genesis when God blesses Abraham. He says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. He doesn't bless us to just be blessed so that we just have more stuff. He blesses us so that we can become a blessing to others. That's still God's plan. He doesn't bless us so we can hoard. He blesses us so we can pour out. Think of your life as a pipeline, not a reservoir. When you bless others, God keeps the flow going. You know, there's a river in Israel that dumps into what they call the Dead Sea. It has water flowing into it, but nothing flows out. The result? Death. It's lifeless. It is literally the Dead Sea. That's what happens to us if we only receive but never give. But there's also a sea in Israel called the Sea of Galilee. The water flows in and it flows out and teems with life. You see, generosity brings life. Think, who can you bless this week? Who could use a call, a meal, a visit, or a word of encouragement? Could you bless a struggling family with groceries or help a ministry in need? Gratitude that doesn't give eventually grows stale. Thanksgiving without generosity is like breathing in, but never breathing out. Fourthly, we need to rejoice in spiritual blessings above all. Material blessings fade, but spiritual blessings last forever. David says, God forgives all our iniquities. That's salvation. He says he redeems your life from the pit. That's deliverance. He says he crowns you with loving kindness. That's identity. Paul echoes this in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3, where he writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Your greatest blessing isn't your bank account. It's your salvation. It's knowing Christ in your life. That's why Christians can always be thankful. Our gratitude isn't built on changing circumstances, but on an unchanging Savior. Maybe your year hasn't gone as planned. Maybe you're sitting in a season of loss, disappointment or grief. Things didn't turn out the way you hoped. There's a few steps for us this year that didn't go the way we planned. Did you like it? No, it was miserable. But we remain thankful. Our salvation is secure. Our things are not. Our Redeemer still reigns. That alone is reason to give thanks. Fifthly, gratitude restores joy. Notice how Psalm 103 ends. He says, God satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David is saying, when I'm thanking God, I feel alive again. Thankfulness renews your soul. Ingratitude drains you. It makes life heavy. If you're feeling drained, if you're feeling heavy, might want to do a little analysis. Are you being grateful and thankful? Gratitude lifts your spirit like an eagle catching the wind. If your joy feels low, don't just ask for more. Start thanking God for what's already in your hands. Gratitude isn't about having everything you want. It's realizing you already have more than you deserve. That makes you grateful. Six, it's the overflowing of life. The more grateful you are, the more generous you become. And the more generous you become, the more joyful you are. That's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, he's writing about giving, not a popular subject in churches. He's talking about money, but he writes about this. He says, you will be, why should you give? He says, because you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which will produce thanksgiving to God. What he's saying is God will bless you so you can be a blessing, so you can bless others. Don't become the Dead Sea. He uses the analogy of seed. God gives us seed, and with the seed, we invest our seed. Don't just eat all your seed, because then you got nothing. If every farmer ate everything they grew, it would not be good, right? God gives you more than enough. Don't consume everything you touch. Thank God for the blessings in your life and think, okay, now what can I do? What part of this can I sow now into others? You will be enriched in every way. Why? To be generous. That's why God blesses people. When we bless others, the thanksgiving multiplies. Our gratitude becomes someone else's miracle. So he concludes, bless the Lord, O my soul. This week, when you consider your blessings, remember to bless God. Acknowledge him. Thank him for his goodness, yes, but also for his mercy, his faithfulness, his grace, and his patience. And then look for ways to bless others. Bless your family with words. Bless a stranger with kindness. Bless your church with generosity. Bless your community with love. You know, it's really amazing how you can turn an angry person and deal with their anger in your face if you say something nice to them. You know, compliment them. Man, you look great in that sweater, you know. You got such a nice smile. They're 1 minute they want to tear your head off, the next minute they're taken back, because kindness blesses people. The greatest proof of gratitude is generosity. You are blessed not to keep it, but to share it. So this Thanksgiving season, let's live out Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. We're going to have our time of communion this morning. Usher's going to get ready to serve us. This is our time to give thanks to God. We start out by remembering what he did for us. He died on that cross, sacrificed himself, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, so that we could know God intimately and personally in our lives. And in his Last Supper, he gave them wine and bread and said, this is my body, this is my blood. And he's instituted the sacrament of communion. He says, when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Why? Because when you remember, you are thankful. Just like when you remember why you were drawn to each other in your relationship in the first place. Why you remember what you have in your life instead of just taking it all for granted. So we too now remember what Jesus did for us, because within that results in gratitude to God, and we bless God. We're grateful for it. But the Bible says before we take communion, we should examine ourselves. Actually, let me read that verse. It's not on the screen, but it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, talking about communion, he says, whoever therefore eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord. He says, examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, something that we did that we should not have done, something that we should have done, but maybe we neglected to do. If we have not been thankful, but more grumbling than grateful. If we've not loved you with our whole heart. If we've not loved others as we love ourselves for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. We pray that you'll have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. And strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And while our heads are bowed, maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I've never really experienced God the way that you guys are singing about and you're talking about. But you can right now. In your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. And you can take your first steps of faith this morning as the Holy Spirit comes into your life and gives you new life. Amen.